If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this last Sunday of March 1976, we count it all joy to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. At Worth Baptist Church, we are rejoicing during these days over the many wonderful things God is doing for us in all phases of our church's ministry. Hundreds of people are coming every Lord's Day to study the Word of God in the Sunday school and to worship God in the services of worship. Souls are being saved daily in our visitation outreach in the City Evangelism Department. Souls are being added to the membership of our church week after week, and God is blessing in a very remarkable way. We would like to have you and your family come and share these blessings with us. We extend to you a cordial invitation to visit our Sunday school today at 10 o'clock. Are you looking for a Sunday school where the text is the Bible only? Where you can sit down in a class and hear the teacher expound upon the Word of God? You'll find it at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school, beginning at 10 o'clock, has a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. You'll be glad you came today to visit the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church. May I say, while I'm speaking of the Sunday School, next Sunday on April the 4th, we begin a new series of studies in our Sunday School entitled Highlights in the Book of the Revelation. The Book of the Revelation has the answers to the perplexing problems and questions that confront us today, not only as individual believers, but as nations in the world. That's next Sunday at 10 o'clock. We'd like for you to come, and you can come into our adult departments and into the youth departments and into the junior department, and you can study together highlights in the Book of the Revelation, beginning next Sunday with Chapter 1. In the meanwhile, today, we conclude our Sunday school lessons in the series of the doctrines of the Bible with the doctrine of the Word of God today. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. We invite you to come today and share with us in the good things God is doing. A spiritual happening is happening. We want you to share it today at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Soon we will be beginning the construction of our new building on our 14-acre tract just adjoining the properties of the Fort Worth State School. Our new property is located at Campus Drive and Loop 820, next door to the property of the Fort Worth State School. We're looking forward to a tremendous operation in the very near future as we begin construction on our new building. In the meanwhile, at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we shall be looking for you and your family today. Remember our Sunday school at 10 o'clock, our morning worship hour at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. I have three very special announcements that I want to share with you today. The first is concerning our area-wide Easter sunrise service. That will be on Easter Sunday morning, April the 18th, at 6 o'clock at our new site, that is the 14-acre tract located at Campus Drive and Loop 820. We invite you to share the Easter sunrise service with us at 6 o'clock on Easter Sunday morning. And then on Sunday, April the 25th, we are privileged to have with us Dr. James Crumpton, who is the president of the Maranatha Baptist Missions down in Natchez, Mississippi. Dr. Crumpton is a great Bible preacher. He'll be with us on Sunday, April the 25th. And then on Sunday, July 4th, our God and Country Day, our bicentennial celebration here at Worth Baptist Church. We wanted to share these special announcements with you so that you can mark them on your calendar and plan now to attend with us for these very special occasions. Again, for the services today, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. and we would like to hear from you by mail this week. The only way that we can know that you receive this broadcast is for you to write us and advise us that you do. Remember, our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. If you write this week, we will send you free and postage paid a cassette tape containing the messages on Worth Baptist Hour for these days. So we invite you to write us if you'd like a free copy of the taped message of today's broadcast. Remember, all you need to do is write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Faith to Live By. I shall read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at verse 13. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for faith to live by. We thank Thee for the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the privilege of voicing the gospel today. It is our prayer that Thou wouldst bless every listener. Especially, we pray for those who are unsaved. We pray for those who are shut in. We pray for our senior citizens. We ask Thy blessings upon them in this hour. And may this broadcast be used of Thee to bring men to Christ and to bless the hearts of the hearers. Again, we offer a prayer for our nation in its bicentennial year. We pray that this will be our year of revival as we turn America back to God. Bless America today and lead America in the right path is our prayer. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving, amen. And now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, at verse 13, we read, And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. There are three basic principles in life. All three of them are mentioned in this verse. They are, one, faith, two, hope, and three, charity. Paul says the greatest of these is charity. And this is true, for there is nothing greater than love. But look again at the order in which these three basic principles appear. First, there is faith, and then hope, and then charity. This says to me that the first order of your life is faith in God. Consider what Paul said in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Many Christians today have a sagging, on again, off again, dear Abby, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, he loves me not kind of faith. What we need to do today, my friend, is to pray for God to fortify our faith with a new fervor. I've entitled my message today, Faith to Live By. First of all, I ask the question, what is faith? What do you think faith is? Is it a blind fate that leads us stumbling down the pathway of life? No. 10,000 times no. Faith is confidence in God that enables us to believe the unbelievable and to achieve the unachievable. Paul answers the question of what is faith in Hebrews 11:1, where he declares that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like to think of it this way. Faith is the eye that sees the invisible. Faith is the ear that hears the inaudible. Faith is the hand that touches the intangible. Faith is the tongue that speaks the unspeakable. The poet put it this way, Doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. My friend, it is not how much faith you have, but what kind of faith you have. What is the object of your faith? In whom are you placing faith? In other words, it is not the quantity of your faith, but the quality of your faith that really counts. The disciples said to Jesus on one occasion, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said to them, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou plucked up and removed into the sea, and it should be done. Now, my friend, again, I underscore that your faith in God is the first and basic order of your life. And your faith will determine what your life is going to be. The second question is this, where can I get faith? Well, Paul answers that question in Romans 10:7, where he writes, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have heard the word of God. No doubt, in reality, you already have faith in your heart that you don't even realize. I read the story of the little fish who overheard two fishermen talking. One of them said to the other, have you ever stopped to think how essential water is to life? Without water, our earth would dry up, and every living thing would soon die. Well, when the fish heard that, he became panic-stricken. I must find water at once, or I will die. So he went swimming away as fast as he could. But where could he find water? He had never heard of that word before. He asked the other fish in the lake, but they didn't know. He swam into the large river, but no fish out there could tell him where to find water. So he kept on swimming until he reached the deepest part of the ocean. There he found a wise old fish. He asked the fish, where can I find water? The old fish laughed. Water, he asked, you are in it right now. You are in it back home in your own lake. You have been in it ever since you were born. The little fish began the long swim back home, saying to himself as he went, I had water all the time, and I didn't even know it. My friend, you have faith in your heart now that probably you don't even know about. Faith is a gift from God. God has put faith in your heart. Use it. If you do not use it, you will lose it. Where can you find faith? Listening to the Word of God, reading the Bible, believing what God has said, and automatically the principle of faith has begun in your life. The third question we ask is this, what will my faith enable me to do? There are three things I believe your faith will enable you to do. First, your faith will enable you to live one day at a time. Did you ever feel like life is too crowded for you? You get discouraged? Things pile up, your schedule gets too full, even the things that seem nailed down come up. Well, don't give up, my friend, because God knows all about your life, your family, your home, your schedule, your job. God is a wise God. He's the God of time and eternity. God does not expect us to live a lifetime all at once, nor does God expect us to grasp the full meaning of eternity while we are yet still limited to time. God breaks years into months. He breaks the months into weeks, the weeks into days, the days into hours, the hours into minutes, and the minutes into seconds. All you have to do is live one second at a time. Listen to your watch. Your watch may tick 10 billion times, but your watch will never tick but one tick at a time. The poet said, just a tiny little minute, but all eternity's in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but all eternity is in it. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So you can, by your faith, learn to live one day at a time. Secondly, your faith will enable you to do one job at a time. An old man was building a log house, and someone asked him if it were not too big a job for one man to do alone. He answered, "If I had to think about cutting down all the trees and skinning all the bark and setting each log in place and all the other work at once, it would be a big job. But right now, all I'm concerned about is this one log I'm working on." Paul put it this way, "This one thing I do." Your faith will enable you to do one job at a time. If you are a housewife, you can't wash all those dishes, make all those beds, and sweep all those floors at the same time. You must do one job at a time. If you are an executive, you can't make all those decisions that you need to make at one time. You must learn to make one decision at a time. If you are a secretary, you can't type all those letters, keep all those books, and arrange all of those programs at one time. You must learn to do one job at a time. And your faith will enable you to do it. If you're a student, you can't read all of those books and write all of those papers and do all of those assignments at the same time. You must do one thing at a time. If you're a post-hole digger, you can't dig all those holes at the same time. You can dig only one hole at a time. A journey of 10,000 miles begins with one step. Instead of thinking about the journey, why not concentrate on the next step? The trouble with most of us is this. We have been so busy emphasizing our fears that we have strangled our faith. Instead of thinking about your problems, start thinking about your power. Say with the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." If you have faith in God, you can do one job at a time. The third thing that your faith will enable you to do is this. Your faith will enable you to realize that you are stronger than you think you are. Do you realize the strength you can muster up by saying only two magic words? What are those words? Here they are. I believe. I believe. I believe. Now add one more word. Add the word God. And say three magic words. I believe God. Go on, repeat that right now. Repeat it aloud. I believe God. I read the story about a farmer sitting on his porch who saw the pickup coming with his teenage son driving it. Suddenly, the son lost control of the truck, and it flipped over, throwing him out and rolling over on his body. The man ran to the pickup, got beneath it, lifted it up off his son, and freed him. A little while later, he went back to try to do the same thing. And, of course, he could not lift that truck. It was the emergency that brought forth the strength in him that he did not realize that he had. My friend, God knew that you were going to have some emergencies down the road of life. He knew you were going to need some extra strength. So he wrote in his book, in Deuteronomy 33:25, "As thy days are, so shall thy strength be." He wrote in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." He wrote in Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." I repeat, God knew that you were going to need some extra strength, and God has provided it, and you are stronger than you think you are, and faith enables you to discover this truth. Not only do our bodies have more strength than we think, our spirits are also stronger than we ever dared think. How many people have said to me, "Pastor, if someone had told me months ago that I would be undergoing and standing up under what I'm standing up under and bearing this load, I would have told them not so. I could not do it." But when the hour came, God provided the strength. When the time comes for you, God will enable you, by your faith in Him, to discover you are stronger and braver than you thought you were. You must learn to hold on to your faith. Columbus had faith in an idea. His friends deserted him. His wife died. He was forced to beg bread. It took him 7 long years to get help to go with him on that voyage to the unknown. For 67 days and nights he sailed. Storms ravaged his ships. His men threatened mutiny. Things went sour. But Columbus held on to his faith, and he discovered a new world. Don't give up, my friend. There's a new world for you to discover. Hold on to your faith, and you too will discover a new world. The thing that will make the difference in your life is the power of God, and the power of God comes by your faith in Him. Someone asked D.L. Moody on one occasion, "Mr. Moody, do you have dying grace?" To which Mr. Moody replied, "No, I have living grace. But when the time comes for me to die, God will give me dying grace." That's another way of saying, the faith you keep will keep you. Paul knew that. Paul said, "The time of my departure is at hand. I am ready to be offered up. I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith." My friend, if you will keep the faith will keep you. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. Faith will enable you to make the decision that you need to make right now, right by your radio. You've drifted away from God. You've forgotten the Lord. You've forsaken the church. You've quit reading your Bible. You're not fellowshipping with God's people any longer. There's something missing in your life. You need to make a decision to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. And you can do it right now by faith. Some of you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're lost. You're unsaved. The decision you need to make right now is this: to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you will just bow right now by your radio, wherever you are, confess Jesus Christ. Ask Him to save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you'll do it right now, God will save you. Some of you need to make a decision about your church membership. You're not happy. You're not serving God effectively. You need to decide where God wants you to serve Him. I trust that you'll make that decision today. Remember, your faith will enable you to make the decision you need to make right now. As we leave the broadcast today, I want to remind you once again that it would be our joy to have you and your family to come and visit Worth Baptist Church today. Remember our location, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. A cordial invitation and a warm welcome await you in the services of Worth Baptist Church today. Until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.